And welcome everybody to the round 14 edition of the Saturday morning VFL football show on KC Radio 97.7 FM. And I was promised a new promo through the week. You had all these ideas.
I got busy, unfortunately.
Came into the
bounce. I've got headphones for you.
Yeah, I noticed the headphones. That's great for the studio. It's about time as well. Like, I mean, you know, we are the
premier football program in Australia.
You know, we should really even have our own Aurora TV show soon, I reckon. The Saturday morning VFL footy show. How about that? We just, rather than
bring
the
cameras
in,
bring
the cameras in. We do it live to the millions of people that tune in every morning with their breakfast just to catch up on the latest VFL news and general chit-chat between us. And, well, Jim, you haven't taken your chance to have a stab at me.
I'm very disappointed.
Why?
I watched the cricket last night, and the rain came down and washed the game out, and England were struggling to get Australia out and everything, and well, it was very disappointing.
It's a light flicking in the studio.
425, worse than the previous game. So 425 England all out, very disappointing. After being no wicket for 195, they collapsed to be all out for 495.
Well, anyway, the last guys put on a bit of a... bit of an innings, yeah, 40 runs partnership or something.
So I was sitting there, get later and later, and I'm thinking, I've got to get up at 7 o'clock in the morning, and I'm thinking to myself, anyway, I decided to go to bed. Hushy and Kadich are burning along, absolutely killing England, so I went to bed.
All the wickets came.
What wickets?
Haven't you heard?
No, what happened?
Australia 8 for 156.
No, you're having a go at me.
No, I'm being serious.
No,
Horrocks is not out.
When I went to bed, Australia were absolutely flying along.
Yeah. You haven't heard the score, have you?
No, I have. 158.
Yeah.
You're kidding.
So
made 6,700 in the previous. No, I actually did hear.
I nearly went to bed like in between.
I did go to bed at.
I went to bed.
Not joking. Kadich was flying on 48. I logged on this morning. I left my computer on because I was downloading something. Anyway, I switched the computer on. 40-80 went out, and I missed the wicket. Because I didn't see... I saw Hughes go out. He was a bit... there was a touch.
He was out.
But he
was out.
Ponting was
unlucky.
Ponting was unlucky. He got given out the wrong way.
But the thing with
he was at LBW, but he wasn't out court. He didn't touch it.
But I just don't understand, how is it all that conjecture between the umpires and the third umpire? Obviously, they didn't go back to the video. Is that what happened? Because I didn't actually see it. I didn't see it live. I fell asleep through the footy.
Okay, fair enough, because it was that kind of game.
Oh.
No, it was all right.
No, like...
Getting back to Ponting.
Yeah.
He was plumb LBW, but he hit his foot.
Yeah.
And there was a noise, and the ball went to first slip, I think. I think Strauss caught it.
Yeah, that's right. I guess my question is...
Yeah, the question was, with the umpire, did the ball carry? It definitely carried. It was a couple of inches off the ground. But because he didn't touch it...
They didn't actually confirm the decision. The decision was if it was just carried to him or not. It wasn't actually if it hit the bat.
Not hit the bat. He didn't touch it.
My question to you is, if you appeal, are you appealing that he's out for court behind... Because if it goes, say they said, look, we're going to go break the ICC code and go to the third umpire to get the decision on this one.
Yep.
What are they actually looking for? Because in rugby league, you go to the third umpire, and they have to look for a reason why it's not a try.
Okay.
Now you could have six or seven different scenarios why that ball shouldn't have been a try.
Yeah.
And they look at each scenario to say no, the ball's a try. Is cricket you're appealing for a court behind and he's not out?
They appealed. They appealed for the wicket. I don't know what they appealed for, but they appealed for the wicket. Rudy Kurtzman went to the third umpire to catch to see if the catch carried. His answer came back yes, and he gave it out caught behind.
The
problem is, he didn't touch it. That wasn't the problem. Because he didn't touch it, it was plumb LB.
So who's that anyway? I'm just wondering how the third umpire looked at that. I guess that's one of the problems with it.
Yeah, with the future, if they do go to technology, Ponting didn't touch it, but would he have been given out LBW?
Yeah.
We don't know.
Okay.
It's a bit of a grey area. That's the problem with technology at the moment. Can you appeal for a decision to be given out, or do you have to appeal for the decision to be caught, touched it, not touched it? If he didn't touch it, it's LB. You know,
yeah, that's one of the...
Where do you draw the line, you know? Can you ask all those questions?
That's what I guess they need to really look at. Yeah.
But personally, the bowler should, or the captain of the fielding side should go to the captain, the umpire, and say, "We think it's out because he hit it. Okay, it's not out because he didn't hit it." Then they can't turn around and say, "Well, if he didn't hit it, should be LB."
It's a bit like sometimes.
But if the original question was, "Did he hit it? If he hit it, is that caught? Yeah. But if he didn't hit it, we're going for an LB."
No, that's different.
That's different. You've got to ask those questions at the appeal, not, you know, I mean, not after, you know, you can't have a bob each way, in other words.
Yeah, exactly. Can't have fingers in both.
But at the
points.
Same time, I'd like to see it all, you know, all become correct decisions. The heat sensor thing, the
hot dog or whatever it's called.
It didn't show up anything on Phil Hughes's catch behind, although there was the ball did move after it.
What about the snicker? Was the snicker meter used?
I didn't see that. No, they just said it didn't show up any heat sense, no heat, well, white spot on the glove.
Well, the Aussies are in a pretty
That's a bit of a worry. They're, 290-something runs behind?
If they can get the score into 200, I think they'll be happy from the position they're in. And
yep, no Gilly to rescue them this time.
Pretty gutsy by
no
Pirates
Steve Warder to rescue them, no Alan Border to rescue them, because they've been the saviours in the past.
Well, let's move on to football now, eh?
I'm going to say that in the past, Australia's been in this position very comfortably, struggling, and they've got Alan Border, Steve Waugh, or Adam Gilchrist to rescue them.
Well, who's the in at the moment? Horrocks?
None of them are in.
Horrocks and
Horrocks
Johnson.
With a injured... Johnson's out.
Siddle and Horrocks.
Yes, and Horrocks has a dislocated finger, so we don't know whether that's going to affect his batting or not.
Okay, well... quickly talking about last night.
Yep.
I understand why the Western Bulldogs don't have a big supporter base.
Why? Because they're boring.
It's the brand of football they play. It is just genuinely boring. Mm-hmm. Like, they're playing an attacking team like Essendon, and they've labelled the game as a shootout. We're going to see 25 goals.
25 goals each. Yep. And they managed 25 between them.
And it just turned out to be...
So they only fulfilled half their quota.
We'll get the ball to the half-back line and then switch it back and then fiddle with it around outside until an opportunity comes. Now, Essendon, who was busting their chop in defence trying to get the ball back off, and it just came a game of keepings off and... Yep. Move 5 metres to the right and 3 metres to the left, and eventually we'll get 2 metres.
I saw that. That's why I went back to the cricket.
Yeah. Well, it sent me to sleep. I fell asleep through the third quarter when the Bulldogs got out to a comfortable position, because I thought, it doesn't matter what Essendon try and do here, they're going to be just strangled from doing a run and trying to get themselves back into the game. So
I've got a theory on that.
Okay.
If you can't get the ball off the opposition players because they're running around the ball in their defensive half, give away a 50-metre penalty.
Behind the play or something,
do you reckon?
Get
the ball into their forward line so they have to do something. Their options are kick it back 50 metres. They probably won't do that. So just give away a 50-metre penalty, sacrifice that thing, then the ball gets into a crowded area. You never know, it might be a turnover. You've got to do something. You've got to force the play. Or just give away a free kick. Do something. Get the ball moving, even if it's, even if it's by artificial sources or means. You've got to get that ball moving. Now, you can't get the ball moving if you haven't got it. What you do, you create something to get the ball moving. Therefore, the only way is give away a 50-metre penalty to get the ball moving. They can't say, no, we don't want the 50-metre penalty. Because, you know, the umpires, what they say goes. So that's the spectators get upset. But at the same time, you get the ball away from your defensive, you get the ball moving, in other words.
Round 14 of the VFL, Jim, and we've got some household keeping to go through here. Just confirming some injuries and some news that has been around the traps. And we'll get into some round 13 results. One coach we can confirm will be on the program this morning is Jared Fitzgerald from the North Ballarat Roosters, premiership coach. We'll speak to him a bit later on in the program. We have left messages with both Adrian Hickmott and who was the third person we called yesterday?
Good question.
It was another coach, David Teague from the Northern Bulldogs. Yeah, we left messages with them. So we will try and get in contact with them after 9:30 or so. So we will try and keep our show a little bit more direction from now on. We've been a little bit wish-washy, but between 9:30 and 10, we'll try and have our guests on the program. This weekend's broadcast to kick off the show is today. We'll be going out to TIAC Oval for the big game between Port Melbourne and Bendigo. We broadcast Port Melbourne last weekend, who were very impressive against the Werribee Tigers in a very hard-fought match between both sides, and some incidents behind the play really did take you back to the 80s.
Some not so behind the play.
Well, it's funny. I don't know. Did you jump on VFLfooty.com and check out the video yet?
No, I didn't actually.
Well, you need to, because it's quite funny from our point of view, because it's funny for me because you know what you're thinking about as you're commentating it, and I don't know what the pure directive is of AV videos, what they have to broadcast, being only one video at one camera at the ground, because we were broadcasting it obviously into the feed last week, and whatever fight was on, Cameron seemed to focus in on it and try and see if there was any incidents that AFL Victoria need to look at. Now, I've checked the news through the week. There's been no news of any reports or anything that's been taken up.
And did you see any?
Well, if you have a look at the highlights, I don't know. I don't know what is considered a strike. Because if you punch someone, isn't that a strike?
Well, in my opinion, hitting someone when you're having a fight is a fight.
Mark McVay, if he saw the incidents from the package from Werribee Port Melbourne that's online,
you'd feel hard done by.
I'm probably dobbing into the blokes. Hopefully they don't go and check it and see.
No, you're saying it as it happened.
So there were definitely a couple of incidents that I thought that...
I saw some that probably you didn't see, and you probably saw some that I didn't see, and there were some very strange things happening out on the ground that I thought were not in the rules of the game.
Well, definitely.
Yeah. So, and the rules state that you can't punch someone. I don't know if they use those exact words, but I'm pretty sure they're in there somewhere. And I saw someone get hit, and and he ended up on the ground, and he was holding a part of his body that got touched by the other person.
But, even the nemesis, as we called him in the end, Adrian Bonadio, cop one that I saw that, you know, it's not good for football at all.
I reckon what you should do if you're in a fight, you just jump on the ground and start, you know, going into convulsions and see what happens. And the umpire might give you a free kick.
Sandringham and Collingwood was the other game we broadcast last weekend, and tomorrow we'll be broadcasting the Bulllance versus North Ballarat, which is shaping up as a good game. The Bulllance bouncing back after the bye.
We've picked some absolute screamers of two games, haven't we?
Yeah, well, that should be a good game, the Bulllance and North Ballarat.
Well, I've discovered something that may be of interest to some listeners. In the last, what did I say yesterday, last seven clashes?
Yeah.
Yeah, last seven clashes, the Bulllance have beaten North Ballarat in every one of those. So it's 7-4 in the last 11 clashes. North Ballarat winning from round 6, 2003 to round 2, 2005. Since round 15, 2005 through to round 18, 2008, the Bulllance have been victorious on every occasion. So interesting, because North Ballarat have been pretty good in those times.
Now, in some unfortunate news for the Bendigo Bombers, their season seems to be getting from worse to worse. We mentioned it on the program. They may have gone a little bit early with our suggestion that they've not actually going to be having any games at Queen Elizabeth Oval. That has definitely been confirmed by AFL Football Operations Manager John Hook as they inspected the ground, I think before the round 13 clash, and they decided that they've decided to move games in round 15, 16 and 19 will all be played at Windy Hill. So it's just that there's an uneven grass cover and firmness. I know the boys last weekend had a bit of a joke about grass cover on regional grounds, but it is a problem. And, so the risk factor remains in the centre square and the centre corridor. If you are interested at all, the switching of games will cost the struggling club $40,000 at least. So It's going to be quite a... hopefully, it's not the end of the Bendigo Bombers. We are trying to... We've put a call out to the president and now also the coach and trying to get some feedback from the Bendigo Bombers on the program for our listeners to tune in every week. But we will try and track that down towards the end of the season. There's probably not a lot they can actually say about it all now because it's all probably in negotiations. Another player has left the Frankston Football Club.
Another one,
yep.
We've lost Luke Collins.
Yeah, Luke Collins.
Yeah, he's gone.
Michael Ablett's
gone.
Yep.
There was Magliani.
He didn't leave.
No, he's gone overseas, hasn't he?
No.
Oh, someone's gone overseas for a holiday.
Oh, I don't know. Has Magliani gone overseas? I haven't checked the...
He's playing in the seconds a couple of weeks ago and...
No, well, I don't know. You've thrown me there. But
okay, keep going. Who's left?
He's been listed in the Frankston lineup this week. So
no, I must have mixed up my players.
Sandringham 2004 Premiership player, Toby Conroy, has relocated to Canberra for study purposes, and he's finished with 81 VFL senior games. So, yeah, it's sad to see Toby Conroy leave the Frankston Football Club, and he'll be obviously spending some time now up there in Canberra doing some studies. He might even play football up in the Canberra League. More news coming out of Frankston is that big man Nick Benbow will be sitting out the rest of the season after an injury in the Round 12 reserves match. So he'll be taking some time out to, get better and clear his head and come back even better. There's been some terrible setbacks down at the Frankston Football Club this year. We mentioned that a couple of their senior players are without full-time work, so if he can offer any support to the Frankston Football Club, I'm sure they'll be taking any phone calls you can offer for support down to that football club. And there's a dispute between the Dollies and also Bond Beach, I think, looking at it here, between Shane McDonald, who walked out on the Dolphins 6 weeks ago, but the Frankston team will not allow him to go. So there's definitely some toing and froing at the moment. If you wonder what happened to Al Neville, well, he's back in town after a study trip of the US, but he's not going to play in the VFL. Alistair Neville, the former Boxer and Coburg player, and unlucky enough to be picked up on an AFL list, has decided to play for the Uni Blues in the VAFA. So that's good news there. A bit closer to home, a bit closer to KC Radio. The KC Scorpions have decided to name their reserves best and fairest medal after club stalwart Snowy Fenton. The decision was announced at a function in Fenton's honour last week. So congratulations to Snowy. He'll have the reserve grade best and fairest award named after him. I haven't met Snowy in my time in the VFL.
I've never heard of him. That means he might be from the, I'll say, the dark distant past of the Springvale days.
One of those volunteers that gets in and under the packs and does everything for the football club and a little bit unrecognised. He's obviously a stalwart of the club though, so it might be
congratulations.
Just our ignorance of...
Just because we're ignorant doesn't mean the guy's not a champion, because he's got a medal named after him. We haven't. Maybe we should have the Hines Pollard medal somewhere, or the Pollard Hines medal.
Yeah, for the best volunteer in the VFL. AFL Victoria has decided to throw out their feelers, and they're looking for two people to join the board. So that'll be interesting to see what happens there. And talking of Bendigo, I guess we can leave this for the results, but I guess we should kick off the results with this result from last weekend.
They won.
They did. The reserves did.
They had a victory.
Yep, the reserves finally won. That's a 31-game losing streak when they defeated the Zebras by 18 points at Trevor Barker Oval. So, looks like Lachlan Delahunty, who has been starring in the reserves, kicked 5 goals last weekend. So, I think the boys went out and celebrated, as they definitely should have. It's been a long time since they won, round 14 of 2007. And, look, they came home in the last quarter. They turned a deficit around, and they finished off with a victory. So, congratulations to the Bendigo Bombers at reserves, and we'll get to see them in action before the big game this afternoon as part of our VFL coverage. Round 13. And the the ABC game of last weekend was the KC Scorpions versus Frankston. And another big, strong performance by the home team there, the KC Scorpions. They won 17-21-123 against the Dollies, 3-7-25. The Dolphins scoring only four behinds after the first quarter really left them without a chance. They were in front at quarter time.
They were.
I don't know what Shannon Grant said to them, but obviously it didn't work because after that point of time, the Scorpions kicked 16 goals to nothing. Miller finished with four, Juice Newton with four, and the goal kickers, we can list them in nearly in alphabetical order here. Jim Magner, Purvis, and Whelan. They're the goal kickers for the Dolphins.
Very disappointing.
Better players for the Scorpions. Bartram, Johnson, and Taylor. And for the Dolphins, Lombardozzi, Marigliani. Well, he's been playing for a couple of weeks now, Jim. I don't know where you're getting your information from.
I'll look through the team sheets.
Our broadcast game, as we mentioned, that was pretty spiteful in times, but both teams did shake hands. At the end of the game was Werribee versus Port Melbourne. After giving them a four-goal head start at quarter time, the Tigers definitely came back. It was a game affected by the breeze, wasn't it? With one end, definitely a lot easier to score at. But Port Melbourne, to their credit, did enough to win. And those two goals in the last quarter really was the difference for Port Melbourne when teams were struggling to score at that end. DeLuca finished with three for the Borough. Nathan Thompson with two. Bongetti finished with two goals and sore knuckles. Werribee's best player on the ground was given to Baird, McGrath, and McMahon, and for the Tigers, Sharp, Costello, Saker. Box Hill, well, didn't they turn it around in the final quarter to overrun the Roosters? We'll speak to Jared Fitzgerald about that game because the Roosters, coming off the bye, lost their legs in the final quarter. Very hard to win at Box Hill. They've been very impressive, winning most of their games there this year. Box Hill, 11-16-82, defeated North Ballarat 10-8-68. Stokes kicked three. Peterson continues his good form. And for the Roosters, Driscoll kicking three goals.
Stenger rang up and said if they win one of their next two games, they'll definitely be in the finals.
Oh, Stenger, come on.
Yep, that'll give them an eight.
You should bring us back, Stenger. Because
that'll give them 8-7.
Well, if they win two games, that gives them nine. Yep. And I mean, Coburg, the Bull Ants, Geelong, and possibly Sandringham would have to win 3 to 4 games because Box Hill's percentage is 103.9. So Coburg just sitting underneath them can jump in front of them. Yep. Then the Bull Ants.
Box Hill, if they win one of their next, gives them 8-7.
Well, where did you put Box Hill in your calculations at the end of the season?
About 8. Sandringham have a bye, so they can only win two of the next three games. Because they've got a bye this week. So they can only be on 7.
The
yeah, they're sitting in 10th position.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
we're at round 14.
You've also got to beat your opposition. And Sandringham have got a pretty tough draw now.
Well, so Stanger's said it, that his claim that the Box Hill Hawks will need to win two games to fix up their place.
One of their next two games. And they'll be in the finals for sure.
Okay, well, I'll leave that to you guys. Geelong, 16-14-110 were too strong for the Bendigo Bombers. 10-15-75. You would have thought after the reserves won, they would have been pretty spurred on. They got back within a kick at three-quarter time, but 7-2 in that final quarter saw Geelong finish on top. Podsy Ali finished with 3 goals to move to 50 goals for the season. A good performance there by the Cats, who are just outside the top 8 on percentage now, and 5% down at this time of the year could be nearly a game's worth. In the Sunday broadcast game, Collingwood, 14-9-93, defeated the Zebras, 10-8-68. They only scored 1 point in the final quarter at Sandringham. They didn't finish off the game like we expected for the Pies. Pendlebury and Bryan kicked three. Chris Dawes was, I thought, unlucky not to be listed in the best. He finished with 2 goals.
Didn't they name him the best?
He didn't get in the best.
He didn't. Well, that was at a different game.
Brown,
I thought he was instrumental in those first three quarters.
Reed and Cook. No, Chris Dawes.
Okay. Obviously, the selectors are harsh on poor Dawes.
Shut the door. Yeah. For Sandringham, Tom Lynch kicked 4 goals. Gallagher listed as the best Zebra on the ground.
Even though he didn't get named in the best, he got named in the emergencies for Collingwood's AFL team this week.
Now, we've been pretty unlucky when it comes to Sunday afternoon football and choosing the right game because we've missed some thrillers. Another one at Burbank Oval, Williamstown, 19-5-119. defeated the Coburg Tigers 18-8-116. With North Ballarat's loss, it left the Williamstown side one game ahead, but they've also got the bye to come through in the last couple of rounds. So, good performance there by Williamstown. 5-6 in the final quarter. Would have been some pressure moments there, but with Rose kicking 4, O'Keefe 3 again. Brett Johnson listed in the best for the Williamstown side with Callan and O'Keefe. And good to see in the VFL reserves, this will warm the hearts of so many Richmond supporters, Graham Pollack. Listed as best on ground in that performance. You just wonder where he's at, because he has really come on in the last 4 or 5 weeks in terms of his development as a footballer.
That's right. And playing good football. He played in the reserves a couple of weeks ago. We saw him in a couple of reserves games, and he looks all right.
So the ladder. Are you okay, Jim?
Yeah, I think I'll survive.
You're dying?
No, not quite dying.
Okay, round 13 ladder. As I mentioned, Williamstown on top, one game clear of 10 wins. Then we have North Ballarat with 9, Port Melbourne 8, a logjam here between the Scorpions, Collingwood and the Box Hill Hawks, all on 7 wins. Casey Scorpions, they just, after their round 1 performance, if you were to say they're going to be sitting in 4th position with 7 wins, I think Peter German would have taken that quite comfortably. Coburg Tigers, Northern Pool and Geelong, all on 6 wins, separated by 8% between Coburg and Geelong. Then we have Sandringham, who are in no man's land now with a healthy percentage but not enough wins on the board. That loss last week has really made it a hard task for Sandringham to finish in the top 8. Werribee, well, they're 4-8 now, so they'll be just probably salvaging some respect towards the end of the season. It would be a dramatic run for Werribee to get into the finals. And then we have the Cellar Dwellers in Frankston and the Bendigo Bombers. Goal kickers. Well, we're hoping Sortnell could get to 100. 2 goals last week has put some pressure on him, but I'm sure he can bounce back. He's on 57 goals. Podziadli has 50. Matthew Little, with only 1 goal last week, moved to 45. His partner in crime, Patrick Rose, has 33. An underrated performance of 2009, who faced a pretty serious injury and has bounced back. 28 goals for Nathan Thompson from the Werribee football side with 3, and Chris Bryan also on 28 goals. So that basically wraps up the round 13 review. Some news coming through the VFL and also looking at the reserves here. Williamstown, ultra impressive once again. They have 12 games with 12 wins. And Box Hill, Stanger will be happy with their reserve grade side. They're sitting in second. Frankston, which is some good news for the football club. So the future's in good hands. They're in third position. The Scorpions, well, everything positive is happening down there at Casey Fields this year. They're sitting in fourth position, who are traditionally a weaker side when it comes to the reserve grade comp. Coburg and the Zebras, North Ballarat outside by percentage, and Werribee, a bit like their senior team, just sitting outside the top 6 there, putting some pressure on the finals. The Galah, Dean Galea, well, he continues to kick goals at VFL level, but can't get in Brad Gotcher's good books. He's kicked 43 goals for the season. Chris Hogel from the Box Hill Hawks has 34. Gary Conyers has 28. And Dean Limbach, I think he kicked 14 goals in one game this year.
Saw him kick 14.
He's had 26. And Clive Hughes has now been promoted to the seniors. He has 25 goals. So that is the VFL reserves grade as well. That's focusing now on round 14, which sees the following games. AFL curtain raiser between Geelong and Coburg starting at 10:40, so just after our program finishes. The ABC game will be live from Trevor Barker Oval, which sees Collingwood going back to where they were impressive last week, taking on the Casey Scorpions. Back-to-back, nearly 100-point victories there, so the Scorpions are in really fine form. Our broadcast game will be Port Melbourne versus Bendigo Bombers, and that's a late finishing VFL game for the afternoon. And on Sunday, we have 3 games. Williamstown versus the Box Hill Hawks, which will be live on 3WBC. Frankston versus Werribee, which I think will be the game for live VFL. And us, we'll be at the big game at Visy Park. We'll talk about Visy Park in some detail during the preview. The Northern Bulllands versus North Ballarat. The Zebras have the bye. So it's a big weekend of VFL action. If Sandringham not able to apply any pressure for victory this week, if Geelong or the Bulllands and Coburg can get victories this weekend, will make it very hard for anybody below them to push into the top 8.